Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 509, 69 degrees on this Wednesday, May 7th, 2025, over the hump of the week. We're on the downslide now. Weekend's before us, before we know it, and we've got the hardest part behind us. Day by day, inch by inch, right? You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone now. We have Lorraine from Hazleton with a poem. Lorraine, how are you?
Hanging in. How are you?
All right. So you got a poem for us today, huh?
Yes. I had one a couple of weeks ago, but I guess you didn't get me on, but that's okay. I got one, and it's called I've Got to Be Me. When I'm feeling rather lonely and life seems to hand me the blues, I often wonder what it would be like to walk in someone else's shoes. Some people seem to sail through life without a care or any grief. But after reality sets in, that may be only my own belief. How do I know for sure what lies deep within one's soul? Perhaps I'd be rather astonished to find they haven't reached their goal. I've come to my own conclusion. Who I really would like to be, someone who's friendly and compassionate. I finally realize that someone has always been me.
Nice poem there, Lorraine. Thank you for sharing that with us today.
Thank you for letting me share it.
Yeah, so the rain stopped at least.
Oh, yeah. I know. It was very ominous here. I had a doctor appointment. I was going to start going down the mountain, so to speak, and boy, it was like black. And I call him up. I said, look, I'm not taking a chance. And he goes, Lorraine, stay home. Turn around. He said, just don't. He said, because another lady called him up and canceled, and because we were going to get golf ball hail. Well, we didn't get golf ball hail, but at least I was able to get back in today. But anyway, yeah, it was very scary.
It was indeed, and I'm glad you made the right choice to stay home. I'm glad your doctors understood that, and that's the right thing to do. So I'm glad you told us about that there so other people hear it.
Yeah, well, he said, no, because in the morning I called him ahead of time. I said, geez, doctor, I don't know. And he said, well, he said, it's only 9:30. Let's wait and see. But it came to fruition, and anyway, because with the shape my car is in, I was a little leery, so.
All right, Lorraine.
Do you have a car to sell me, Rob?
I do not. Actually, I'm short a car. I just gave my truck to my daughter.
You did?
I did. But she graduated. She graduated in the academy. She's moving on with her life. Her college did not cost her anything because she traded 9 years of military service for her college education, so. The deal was that she can have the truck when she's done. So she has the truck now, and she's off to TBS.
Well, I wouldn't be able to climb up it anyway. So, no way, Jose. I need a stool and a ladder. No. I need a low car.
Yeah, even my wife needs the sidestep to get into the truck. So, my daughter's all good with it.
Well, that's good.
All right, Lorraine, thanks for checking in today. Well, hopefully we talk to you later in the week.
Okay, thanks so long.
Thank you, bye. And yeah, and I told you it would be controversial. I got a lot of text messages coming in on what we need to do with the millions of people who have been here who do not have criminal records. And, you know, people are mentioning Social Security. You know, listen, a lot of these people do work. A lot of these people do pay into the system. They've made it through the loopholes. Just today, there was a bunch of I-9 inspections for a bunch of businesses. Actually, a CNN host's husband's restaurant was one of the places that there was a check. And they do this from time to time. They do spot checks. And anyone who's an employer knows what an I-9 is. A matter of anyone who's, you know, applied for a job knows what an I-9 is. It's not the most fallible system. It should be checked up on. But it's not without its loopholes. But there are plenty of people that have overextended work visas that did have work authorization that has canceled and are continuing to work, and there's just been no one to go get them. So, yes, they have paid into Social Security. They have paid into the systems. they may pay into these systems under assumed names and aliases. And I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all. I'm saying it's part of a package that would need to be put together to punish them in some way. But again, there is just not the reality that we are going to be deporting millions upon millions, up, you know, as high as 21 million people. It's just not going to happen. So let's get the violent criminals out of here. Let's hold those accountable who have recently, under the past administration, floated in. But if you've been here 10 years, if you've been here 15 years, if you've been here 20 years, there needs to be some sort of process to where they can make the American people whole, or at least pay their penalty for doing such, and whatever that is needs to be, you know, needs to be negotiated, needs to be made up, needs to be created, because it's a system that we've never done before. I don't believe there should just be amnesty where we just say, okay, anyone who was here, you know, past a certain amount of time, you're just here legally now. I don't agree with that. I think there needs to be some kind of penalty. There needs to be some sort of process that we could tell the people who did follow the law, who waited for years and came here legally and took their time to become U.S. citizens or green card holders, that you know, that was not for nothing, that other people are being held accountable. Now, what that is needs to be determined. It needs to be something that's realistic. It needs to be something that's doable. Because, listen, if you could say, well, anyone who came here illegally, you need to pay $20,000. That's not realistic. Some people may be able to do that. Some people aren't. So maybe it's a percentage thing. You know, if we look at your incomes and you've made a certain amount of income, maybe it's a percentage of that. I'm just saying it needs to be discussed. But anyone who says, no, we just need to get them all out of here, it's never going to happen. So what next? What next? What's the realistic answer? Because you can have your pipe dream all you want that, yeah, we're going to go around and get them all out of here. It's never going to happen. So let's work within the system we have. Let's work with the reality that's today. Let's take the people who have flooded into America over the past couple of years because they thought it was a free-for-all. Yes, we should be sending you back. People who have been here 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, we need to come up with some sort of process to where they're now documented and there's going to be some sort of penalty. Now, what that penalty is, how we do that, that's why we elect officials who get paid a whole lot of money to live in that little place down in Washington in their home districts and answer to us. That should be for them to figure out. But again, if you're one of these people that says, no, no, you came here illegally, everyone goes, it's just not going to happen. It's just not. So let's work with what system we do have in place and what reality there is in front of us. So that's all I'm saying when it comes to that. You know, I threw some things out there and people are like, oh, Social Security, and it's just nothing. Listen. It's part of a process. It's part of a package. Something needs to be done. Once the border is secure, and I've said this from the start for the past 2 years, you cannot do any comprehensive immigration reform without a secure border. Now we have the beginnings of a secure border. Let's continue that. Let's lock it down even further. And then let's keep continuing to chase down the violent criminals who are here, get rid of them. Let's find the people who flooded into this country over the past couple of years because they thought it was a free-for-all, because that's the signal that was sent by this administration. This was a manufactured crisis, 100%. Let's send them back because they need to not collect $200, do not pass go, you start from the scratch again. You want to try the process legally? Have at it. If you do not leave on your own like the process is now, if you leave on your own, you have a chance to reapply and come back in. If you make us get you and send you out, nope, sorry. You're have a 10-year block before you can even try to come back in legally. But let's find the people who have been here 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and let's work on a process to make them whole. And again, I don't agree with amnesty. I don't think that's the answer. I think that just rewards that type and kind of says, oh, let's erase everything that happened before this point and just start over again. You know, we've tried that before. It doesn't work. Look at the situation we're in now. So that's why I say, you know, there needs to be some sort of process. It needs to be harsh enough to where there are they are paying a penalty to where there's the downside to it. But let's look at the reality of what we can and can't do logistically, physically, or, you know, in any other way. Because saying we're going to do something that we can never do is like not doing it at all. We've seen that when you don't enforce laws, does that law really even exist? It doesn't. We've seen that problem too. So those of you who are just joining us, we did have the black smoke from the conclave, the first round of the conclave. It's interesting, during the break before, you know, we came on, before Lorraine gave us that great poem, they said that they swept the room for bugs. These are the world's cardinals, and you're sweeping it for bugs because one of them, somebody in there might have set a, you know, a microphone so we could hear what's going on. It's probably the last thing I want to pay attention to as far as what goes on in that room, but I found it ironic that they had to sweep for bugs as far as listening devices and such in a place where all the world's cardinals are located. I think there's 133 altogether that are voting. Well, it was 9 o'clock Rome time. It was about 3 o'clock our time, 3:15 our time, that the black smoke did flow from the Sistine Chapel. The next round of voting is 10:30 a.m. Rome time. So I would imagine that's probably, it was about 3 o'clock, so that's probably going to be about 4:30 a.m. our time. Rome time, because 9 o'clock their time was 3 o'clock our time. So sometime early morning will be the second round. Most of us will be asleep for it. So we'll see. But everyone's on smoke watch, and it's not like the smokehouse where we, you know, make our kibasi and our supasata and stuff like that, where you sit outside, drink a couple beers, watch the smoke come from the smokehouse, and give the its time. This is a more spiritual, but not as fun smoke watch that I guess we're on now. And those of you that have your own smokehouses or smoke your own, cure your own meat, you know what I'm talking about. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio 526. This next story, and I know Paul Michaels touched on it during one of his news breaks, but it just goes to show the mindset of a lot of the Democrats in Pennsylvania, that they are so far over to the progressive craziness that they just don't make sense anymore. Pennsylvania's state Senate on Tuesday approved a bill to ban transgender athletes from competing in women's and girls' sports at the collegiate and K through 12 levels. Although the Republican-penned bill is unlikely to get a vote in the state's Democrat-controlled House of Representatives. Now, here's the thing, though. The bill passed 32-18 with five Democrats crossing party lines to join with the 27 Republicans in voting yes. The vote marked the second time the GOP-controlled state has passed it. An earlier attempt in concert with the Republican-controlled House met then-Governor Tom Wolf's veto pen in 2022. This time, state Republicans are advancing the effort after President Trump declared his intent to keep men out of women's sports and made it a major campaign issue, as well as withholding Title IX funds from school districts and entities. A lot of this has already been done, so why not codify it? Why not just simply say that, listen, men should not be competing in women's sports? It's as simple as that. I think this is something most of us agree upon. You know, you'll have some say, well, what's the big deal? It's only such a small percentage. I don't care if it's one. I don't care if it's one sport, one athlete in Pennsylvania. It should not happen. But yet, this may never get to the governor's desk because Democrats in the House of Representatives will not let this go to even come to a vote. Put it out there. Come on the record then. Listen, if that's your stance to the people of Pennsylvania, if you are the elected officials for your constituents and that's your stance, why hide behind not letting it come to a vote? So at least bring it to the floor of the House of Representatives. Listen, in the Senate, five Democrats crossed over and voted for it. That, yes, transgender athletes should be banned from women's sports. If you want to have a separate classification, by all means, do it. But enough's enough with this nonsense. And you just go to shows where the mindset is with a lot of this. And again, they're even too much of a coward to go on the record. If this is what you think your majority in the House is going to vote for, put it on the floor. Vote no. Go on the record for it that you want men masquerading as women to play in women's sports, to compete in women's sports, to take trophies away, to take positions away, to take scholarships away, to take opportunity away, because that's what you're doing. Let's leave the harm aside for contact sports, because that is also a major issue here. It's just wrong. And enough's enough. Let's stop with the charade. Let's stop with the grandstanding on this. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't even be an issue. You're right. But I don't care if it's one. And your argument, well, it's only 1% of the student population, both in college and no, I don't care. I don't care if it's one athlete, nevertheless, 1%. We see it time and time again. So if it's so little, why do we see it? Oh, because Republicans are making a big deal about it. No, because it's happening. And it's wrong. And it disenfranchises our daughters, our sisters, our mothers. And it needs to stop. But yet, Democrats will say, well, no, we're not for this. We're not for it. Well, then bring it up for a vote. Stand on your record. Don't be a coward. We'll see. At least the Senate brought it to the floor, and five Democrats said, you know what, I don't agree with this. And you know what, the majority of America doesn't agree with it. But it's a political issue, it's a political battle, it's a distraction, so let's continue it. No, let's not continue. Let's just say it's not going to happen anymore and move on. You want to be a transgender, be a transgender. You want to compete, here's your separate class, or you compete in your gender that you were born with. It's as simple as that. We're not going to make this difficult anymore. We're not going to argue the merits of it because there is no merits. Men, boys should not play in women's and girls' sports. End of story. Live your life how you want to live it. But it doesn't mean you get to affect other people directly. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. See, we're a public service entity here at WILK on a Rob O'Donnell Show. Anyway, I get a text message saying, hey, Rob, power's out in Old Forge. Have you heard anything? Yes, indeed, I did. Made me look at the PBL outage map. There is an outage. 423 customers are out of power right now in the Old Forge area. This is a tripped breaker or blown fuse. We estimate power for this area should be restored by 8:30 p.m. And it appears if I zoom in a little further here, it looks like power's out from West Gray Street all the way down to Coxton Road. And it's kind of hard, pretty much from Lawrence Street all the way up past Apache Drive, Marimar Drive, Bianca Way, just pretty much the St. John's Creek area is there. It's kind of hard because it doesn't, the outage map does not follow the street map, so I'm trying to give you a best grasp of where it is. It looks like Edgewood Drive has power. Most of Oakwood Drive, Stonehill Road, some of Villa Drive has power. But it looks like West Gray Street from Lawrence Street west has this power outage. I did also see, since we're talking about the subject, there was a small portion of Taylor near North Main Street. Oh, is that gone now? No, it's not. It's there. It doesn't say how many people, and it could just be one house. It just is a little green dot, but it does not have an update now. And up near, up in Scott Township, there are three customers that do not have power. Looks like off Montdale Road, off 457 there. There's three houses there that have no power. So, see, don't tell us, we don't give you the information. But Old Forge is the big one in our area. Did get a text message, and it looks like I said, 423 customers affected. You should have your power back by 8:30. Usually they're much faster than that. It says tripped breaker or blown fuse. Once they isolate it, it should be a quick fix. If that's the case, their system usually is pretty on point with telling them what caused it. But 423 in Old Forge, that's a pretty good number of people. So hopefully you get your power back quick. And, you know, we bring this up because yesterday we had the weather emergencies come through our area. We did see some flash flooding slam the Honesdale area. There was a little more rain today, but not much. Hopefully Friday there's not much more because they're still dealing with it. It's going to take a couple of days to subside. But those storms did come through our area. We did have confirmed tornadoes, at least visually. There is video and some damage reports and pictures that I've seen. East of us, where a tornado did touch down and do some damage out there. We did have three warnings in our immediate area and then one to our west that came. But that was some heavy rain coming down. When I was driving home yesterday, it was pretty sporty on 81 all the way up north to where I have to go. I travel about 35 miles. It slowed down a couple times, but then it really came down in others. And listen, this is the time of year we expect that. It's interesting because, you know, anytime something like this happens, we get a lot of rain or it just rains for a couple of days. It's interesting because I was talking to a friend in Florida and they've said they've had they're in a drought area. They need rain desperately. Their retention ponds are all dry and really haven't had the rain they needed. So it's interesting that they're on the opposite spectrum. I also made a joke because there's some evidence now that the ice cap in Antarctica has grown for the first time in decades. And, you know, I made a joke online saying, look, the Trump administration already solved global warming. The ice cap has grown more than it ever has. And simply for the same reason that Donald Trump posts a picture of him looking like the Pulp or says Canada is going to be the 51st state or let's open Alcatraz back. And it worked just as I expected when I said that. People like, oh, you're out of your mind. This has nothing to do with Trump. You're right. It doesn't have anything to do with Trump. It's the normal ebbs and flows of climate change that have happened for hundreds of years and will continue to happen. Is there climate change? There absolutely is. Do we have a lot to do with it? Nah, really not. So, little triggering on my social media page. And listen, don't fret. If I haven't offended you yet on my social media page, I will get to you shortly. I promise. It's 5:40 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I love the passive-aggressive texts that I get that try and patronize but yet try and be a little snarky as well. Listen, keep at it. Get one. Rob, I take you for a pretty intelligent guy most of the time, but you cannot honestly say that human beings are not damaging our climate. While it may not be as bad as a lot of the climate people say, we are still not doing ourselves any favors, and we are damaging our world, and we are causing some things to happen. Please tell me you understand that and believe that at least. Well, of course, we're contributing to pollution and issues. Us, as Americans, what we've done here, I mean, if you look at what happens in the rest of the world, it's extremely minute. Could we do more? Yes, and I think we've made extreme progress as far as cleaner water, cleaner air, cleaner everything for the most part. Is pollution bad? Sure. Are we adding to the negative ecosystem in America by just having household garbage? Of course we are. Is it to anywhere near the effect they're trying to make it be? I mean, listen, for the past, as long as I've been alive, they're telling us that the world's going to end in 10 years because of climate change. So they're lying to us. We could pretty much continue to do what we're doing, and it's not going to have any major effect on the climate whatsoever. Is climate change real? It absolutely is. That's why we've had ice ages. That's why we've had the Jurassic period. That's why we've had volcanoes and all sorts of things. But you know what? One asteroid comes from out of state and hits us, off the planet and hits us, you know, kind of changes our atmosphere and our climate real quick. You know, puts us in a nuclear winter, which changes everything. And that has nothing to do with what we've done here. So, yes, of course we contribute to pollution. Of course we contribute to that. But you know what? We also contribute to the fixes of a lot of those things. Our oceans are cleaner. Our rivers are cleaner. Our air is cleaner. We have changed our energy sources from things like a dirty burning coal to even clean coal was a major improvement. So, let's look at it with at least the perspective of what it is. Is climate change real? It absolutely is real. Centuries upon centuries, millions of years of climate up and down, our nation has seen. I highly doubt that anything we do as far as CO2 now has anything to do with thousands of years ago when the Earth was mostly volcanic and the CO2 that was spewing then. So there's my stance. But keep the passive aggressiveness up because it really means very little to me. Let's go to the phone now. We have Rich from Laughlin on immigration. Rich.
How you doing, Rob? Thanks for taking the call. Let me just say one thing first. That gentleman should go talk to the Chinese government first if he wants to talk about pollution. what I wanted to say is two things have to, if I'm going to agree to anything you said about immigration, and I consider myself a kind person, but, you know, there's limits to everything. Number one, the 14th Amendment goes away. We can no longer accept people, children that are born in other countries or from other countries. They walk across the line into the United States and now they're American citizens. That was passed strictly for black slave owners to make their children Americans. And they haven't corrected it since. And that leads to 32 other persons coming from the country of origin, okay? And most of it's from Latinos. First of all, the child needs a mother, obviously, so the mother could stay. Then, in the next 15 years, 32 others will be here. And I want other people other than Latinos, okay? The parents of many Latinos don't adapt, overcome, or learn the language. Their children seem to do that. Which brings up the other thing. If you're going to come here and ask for citizenship, before you have to educate any children, it should only take a year or two or less, you shouldn't have to educate anybody. Our schools in some areas were running almost on half full. And the last 5 years, they've all filled up again. And that's being filled by people that didn't put any money into the system, all right, by Americans. So I want those two things addressed. It's not cruelty, it's not mean. And I want more people from the 60 or 80 or 1,000 countries that aren't Latinos, okay? We've taken our fair share. We are lacking a lot of culture because we're being overrun by that number of people. We need more doctors. We need more nurses. We need more scientists. And the Latinos brought a lot of the back-breaking work. There's no doubt about it. But we need people from other origins, I think, and that has to be looked at. As far as punitive measures, I'm still pondering that. But I would like to see the 14th Amendment and the other thing I mentioned go away.
Well, as far as the 14th Amendment go, we need a Supreme Court with the guts to define it and to say exactly what you're saying. Yes, this was meant for that. This no longer exists. So, you know, it doesn't apply in a lot of circumstances. As far as, and that's part of comprehensive immigration reform. If you look at, you know, 100 years ago, we were a European-based immigration system. And then 50 years ago, that changed to South and Central and Mexico American because of the labor needs that we had as a nation. That needs to be looked at again as part of comprehensive immigration reform. What do we need now? We do have all sorts of, and I'm not talking about becoming a U.S. citizen because that's a different status. That's something that needs to be earned, not just given to people. And, you know, we have pathways to earn that now, and it takes time. But as far as work visas and high-tech visas and high-skilled work visas, nurses and everything like that, you know, there are avenues for them to come in now. Do we expand that? Now that the border is beginning to come secured, if it remains that way, we can look into those things and define those reasons to who else we need in. But part of comprehensive immigration reform, and we've done this before, it's not unprecedented. America has done it several times. We went from a European base to a more migrant-based, you know, South America, Central America, you know, Mexico. It needs to be looked at again. And so things have changed to where maybe a balance system. Maybe we look at, you know, a European/worldview to where we say, okay, we need people from around the world if we're going to be this breadbasket that we've always said we are, not simply open up our southern border as a floodgate to let whoever wants to walk across the border come in, especially guided by cartels and illegal hands that have done this, because we've seen the detriment that that does for our nation.
I agree with that, Rob. And just want to tell you, have a good night, and we'll talk more about this.
I appreciate it, Rich. Thanks for your thoughts on it. And listen, everybody has thoughts on this. And this is why we elect officials to represent us. This is why we are a democratic republic. This is why we elect officials to take our views down to Washington. What's happened, though, is we've elected these people and they do whatever the hell they want, regardless of what the people think, regardless of what the people want. So we need to be on top of who we elect into these positions to go there. Are they speaking for the majority of people? Are they taking our viewpoints and going there? And it's up to them to sit down together as a bipartisan body, because that's what our Congress is. You might have a majority here or a majority there, but it is a bipartisan body. They need to sit down, and instead of grandstanding for politics, our politicians, and I've talked about this all along, our politicians are in a perpetual re-election cycle. We've seen it. They mislead us. They lie to us. They do a couple of things before the election because they think our memories are short and we forget these things. I mean, simply here in the city of Scranton, you have everybody who is in Scranton city government who's running for re-election, both the mayor and city council, bragging about what kind of job they've done financially over the past 4 years. Look at the situation we're in. Look at what we've come from. Look at the things we repaired. But that needs to come with an asterisk, and I've posted this on social media. They need to say that, hey, in those 4 years, the past 4 years that you ran government, you got 50% of your annual budget handed to you in ARPA funds, $68 million. Now, if you received a 25% increase in your pay each year for 2 years, or 12.5% increase in pay over 4 years, would you be in a better financial position? Of course you would. Anyone would, unless they were reckless or ran government like Lackawanna County. So, of course, the situation is going to be good because although ARPA funds had some restriction to them, some of them were misrepresented, but they did have some restrictions. It freed up the budget money to do the things that they wanted to do. So, of course, you're going to be in a better position. Anyone would be, which is why the outlook for the next 4 years in a city such as Scranton is not so pushed out there. But now all of a sudden they're all concerned about paving roads and such like that. Listen, I've paved roads. I've run communities. We had 28 miles of road. It took us 5 years to pave every road of our 28-mile community. We started with our main thoroughfares. We went to secondary roads, and eventually we got to our cul-de-sacs and our third-class roads. They could tell you exactly based on a budget. We have $2.1 million for road paving next year. At the cost today that we're going to put it out to bid for, we can pave X amount of miles of road. And if that's locked in with a contract or a bid, then the contractor is going to have to abide by that, even if the price of oil and asphalt goes up. So there should be engineers, there should be city public works people who could say, this is what it takes to pave the entire city of Scranton. Now, obviously, it's going to change because the cost of oil changed, which then means the cost of asphalt's going to change. But it's not rocket science. We do it all the time. People do it all the time. The mere fact that, oh, we're going to pave this amount of roads this year because the election's coming up, or, you know, it's going to be rough. We don't know what we're going to have to do the next 4 years. It's garbage. And using utility companies, and they're digging up this here, they're digging up that, where we'll better coordinate things. And utility companies should be held accountable for fixing the road in the situation they found it in. If the roads were documented properly, you'd be able to do that. Poor government is just that. It's poor government. It's not working for the people. So you need to make it work for the people and hold the people accountable that we send into these positions, that we elect into these positions, who get paid very well, mind you, accountable for it. That being said, let me tell you about the Good Feet store located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. They're making it easier than ever to feel your best. Say goodbye to foot pain. Hello to personalized comfort at the Good Feet Art Supports. No waiting. The art supports are immediately available, so you can experience the difference today with a free test walk. You can check them out at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call them at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com. We'll be back. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show on this Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. That's it for today. We're over the hump in the week. Downslope for the rest of the day. We have Thursday, we have Friday, and then the weekend is here, and the weekend looks pretty good. And remember, Mother's Day is coming up, so make sure you got your preparations all ready for that. Make sure you have some plans ready. It's supposed to be a nice day. Hopefully you can do something outside. If your mom is into some yard work or something like that, it's a good day to, you know, help her out there. If not, just spend some time, because that's what matters. And if you're not around to spend time, have a conversation with them, even if they're not with us anymore. My mom's gone. I lost her years ago, but I wish her some good things. Have a conversation, you know, tell her how life is today and how much they'd be enjoying it if they were here, because I like to believe they're still with us. I like to believe they're seeing what's going on, part of our lives, being here or not. You know, I'm not one to visit the cemetery or such like that, but, you know, I still reminisce and think about, you know, what it would be like today if my dad or my mom was around, and seeing my grandson and seeing, you know, my kids grown and what they've all done and what they've accomplished. And it makes me feel good. makes me feel good that I know they would be proud. And, you know, hopefully you can have those same memories, those same thoughts, regardless of what the circumstances are. Because, you know, you only got one mom, and try and make it the best you can. Other than that, we'll be back tomorrow. New set of news, new stories to talk about, new phone calls, and new text messages. We will see you tomorrow. God bless, be safe, and join the Rob O'Donnell Show weekdays from 3 to 6.